Hey, good morning. Welcome to your Thursday, which may get a little stormy and rainy. In fact, for the next couple of days, might not be the greatest weekend for outdoor lovers coming up here, but we never say no to rain in this province. And air quality this morning here is at a low risk, but some air quality warnings north and east of us this morning in the province. And you heard Kevin Martell there. We heard some of the stories of how it's become one of our worst wildfire years on record, with more hours of poor air quality than we would like. And once again, the smoke now making its way into the U.S., where a bunch of Republicans are whining that Canada is making it dangerous to breathe in their states. Hey, it's a problem here, too. We don't exactly enjoy the equivalent of a half a pack of smokes a day either when it gets really bad as far as air quality. But blaming Canada? Come on, occasionally, yes, unfortunately, started by humans or sparks of an ATV going through tinder forest. But for the most part, Mother Nature is largely to blame through storms and wind. It just can't be helped. And let's not forget, this has pushed thousands of people at times out of their homes and cottages, and some have lost everything. So come on, give me a break. Blame Canada.
Blame Canada.
No.
Blame Canada.
No.
You need to form a full assault.
It's Canada's fault.
All right. Still 81 active wildfires in the province. 13 communities evacuated, but maybe some of these showers we're getting will push a little further north and help out the situation there, too. Hope so. Got a good reminder, too, from Regina Police this morning to lock your car doors, roll up your windows. I still can't believe every summer we hear that from RPS. And this week they report they've received 53 different reports of theft over the last month, all from vehicles that were either unlocked or had their windows open. In fact, the other day, the police plane spotted someone down below in the Wisteria neighborhood checking vehicle door handles to see if they were open. Lock your doors. It's pretty easy, I know, to just, you know, oh, I'm only going to be a minute or two, whip out, and then you forget to go back later in the day and lock your doors or roll up the windows. But that's what's happening right now, as police are reminding us. Lock it up. Roll it up. Hey, I couldn't get a hold of Mark Millett in Regina yesterday on my show. He was the winner of our guaranteed weather jackpot. And it was a biggie, too. Later in the afternoon, though, I did give him a ring, and he was happy that I blew it when I called.
Good morning. Mark here.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm all right. Greg Morgan calling.
So my wife is yelling at me, saying to hi, say hi, Greg.
Well, Mark, did she enter you or did you enter Guaranteed Weather?
You know, I think that my daughter-in-law, Marissa, I think that she put my name in for this contest.
Okay, so you didn't even enter yourself. Someone else did it for you. They didn't win, but I get to tell you you're a Guaranteed Weather winner. Does that seem right to you?
That does not seem right at all. Like I'm having winner's remorse right now.
Occasionally, if you listen to my show, you know that sometimes I get it right, sometimes I get it wrong on the Guaranteed Weather forecast. And if I'm ever off by three or more, I just pay whatever the jackpot is.
You know what? I don't even know what the jackpot is.
Well, you have won. Put the phone on speaker so your wife can hear this.
Yeah, she can hear.
You've won $875.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
Thank you, Greg.
You are both welcome. And who do you want to say thank you to again for entering your name?
My beautiful and lovely daughter-in-law. Her name is Marissa Millett, and she's just a wonderful, wonderful person. So thank you. And I'll be sharing it with her, obviously.
$875. Well, I was saying earlier, that's, you know, like a small mortgage payment, perhaps, or a payment for a car, a vehicle payment you might have, or just a lot of good pocket money to have some fun. Any idea how you like to spend that cash?
We'll probably do a supper. With a family supper.
Excellent. Well, I'm so happy for you. Congratulations again. Thank you so much for listening. Even though I missed you yesterday, I know you're a longtime listener, and I appreciate that, and I hope you enjoy $875.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
It is week 10 of the CFL, and it all starts tonight with the Ticats and the Lions.
All right, I'm ready. Come on. Good game, everybody. Yeah, 110%,
eh? Yeah, Ticats looking to extend their win streak to 7 games when they host the Lions tonight. And, of course, our Riders are on a bye, hoping that their meeting with the Ticats a week from Saturday will be another sellout, like they announced Labor Day as already. And it's still not a sellout for the Ticats game coming up. That also family day, so there are some deals up for grabs with details apparently at Ryderville.com if you want to go to the next Ryder game a week from Saturday against those Ticats. Incidentally, with it being a bye week, our Green Zone host, Jamie Nye, has hit the road for holidays. I believe he's camping. That has left Locker all alone in the afternoons. And our Green Zone analyst, Belton Johnson, also on holidays too with his kids and wife. Belton posted pics of the kids' back-to-school shopping bags all on the floor of his Calgary hotel room. I can relate to that. On our recent family trip to Kelowna, my youngest had all her new clothing purchases laid out on the hotel bedroom. She already has her first day of school outfit set. I don't know if that started in your household yet. Back-to-school shopping, it's 26 days. 26 days now and counting till the first day of school. I'm not even a kid or student, and that's depressing to think how quickly summer holidays are sliding by now. Hey, I do want to give a shout-out to the Regina Red Sox, who were on the road last night to start the WCBL best-of-three first-round matchup against the Medicine Hat Mavericks, and they won Game 1 by a score of 6-2. Good for them. Game 2 at Curry Field tonight at 7 o'clock, and I know it looks a little rainy. I know they're going to do everything they can to get that game in. Sure hope, though, that they catch a break from Mother Nature and can play tonight. 7 o'clock, Curry Field. And look at this. The Saskatoon Berries lost to Moose Jaw 6-4 at home last night. Moose Jaw could wipe out the Berries in their amazing winning season tonight with just one more victory. It is a best of three as well, of course. Up at the old Ross Wells Ballpark is going to be packed tonight. If, again, the rain isn't a problem there tonight. So that's pretty cool to see. And how about all the teenagers coming through for Canada lately? Last week, it was 18-year-old Summer McIntosh with 4 gold and a bronze at the World Swimming Championships. And now, 18-year-old Victoria Mboko making us all proud. The Toronto teen and wildcard entry is now headed to the National Bank Open tennis tournament final. After pulling off an epic comeback last night in a 3-set thriller, defeating Elena Rybakina, 3 sets. It was awesome. And Mboko will play Naomi Osaka now, a 4-time Grand Slam champion in tonight's final. Sure hope she wins that. Hey, I just got a minute here to take a moment to acknowledge and send my condolences to the family on the passing of Francesco Giambattista, the founding father of the Italian Star Deli on Victoria Avenue. He passed away at the age of 95. His family was there for him, surrounded by family when he passed on Monday, and the family suggesting in lieu of flowers, donations be made through the Saskatchewan Alzheimer's Society. And another great man, former Regina Police Chief Troy Hagen, passed away on July 31st. He was 67, born and raised in Regina. My condolences to Troy's family, who shared in the obituary. It was lovely. They said how his dream of becoming a police officer began at the age of 5 when his parents gave him a police pedal car, a gift he proudly washed and waxed every day. And Troy was a member of the RPS in 79. He retired as chief in 2016. So to Judy and the whole family, I send condolences. And I remember Troy as a great man myself. Had a few occasions to catch up with Troy over the years over a pop. Just a solid human being. And they too hope you'll donate to the Alan Blair Cancer Center or a charity of your choice. Well, there she is, Grammy-winning Best New Artist, Chappell Roan, who had the song Pink Pony Club become a top 10 hit and used by the Oilers in the dressing room during the playoff run as a celebration song. They never really did explain why they picked that one in particular. Panthers would eventually steal it, too, and use it celebrating with the Stanley Cup. But keeping with Chappell Roan, she promises a concert in Saskatchewan one day. It's really in the cards, she said, because she name drops our province, as you know, in her new song, The Subway. And yesterday, Premier Scott Moe was on the Evan Bray Show. Tamara Cherry filling in this week. And yesterday, Mr. Moe said he hopes she follows through with her promise.
Oh, she should come here. And I'm sure many Edmonton Oilers fans would certainly go to the concert as well, as they adopted, I think, one of her songs throughout the playoffs. And I was hopeful, being an Oilers fan, that we could have heard it a few more times, but we weren't able to. Listen, we've had many artists mention Saskatchewan over the last number of decades. Some spent time here, like Johnny Cash, for example, and others. And so we would hope that she would come to Saskatchewan. And most certainly, I think many would look forward to attending her concert.
Yeah, we certainly would, preferably in Regina than Saskatoon for a change, but still no Canadian dates from Chapel Roan yet. Incidentally, all the premiers had a virtual call yesterday with Prime Minister Mark Carney for an update on tariff negotiations. However, before that virtual meeting between the premiers and the PM, our Premier Scott Moe was on the Evan Bray Show. As I said, he mentioned too how he's hoping that we claw back some of the retaliatory tariffs to make it easier to negotiate with Trump.
Maybe it's time for Canada even to at least not add additional counter tariffs in this space, but to even consider removing some of the counter tariffs that are harmful to Canadian businesses and Saskatchewan businesses today. Largely, we are protected as long as USMCA is in place.
As long as it's in place. Now, that's where Ontario Premier Doug Ford said, you better buckle up. Ford said he won't be surprised if Trump doesn't pull a fast one and try to open up the Continental Free Trade Agreement he negotiated with Canada in his first term, even earlier than when it's supposed to be up for review next year.
We got to move quicker, and folks, be ready. This is coming. I don't even think it's my personal opinion. He's not waiting till 2026. At any given time, President Trump, not that he even follows, you know, the rules, he could pull the carpet out from underneath us on Kuzma tomorrow with one signature. So let's be prepared. I think it'll be coming in November, in my opinion. Let's start getting ready, and we're doing it.
Yeah, he wants to have Ottawa be prepared for the possibility of an early review of Kuzma, as you heard there, as early as this fall. Manitoba Premier Wab Kanoo is accusing a group of U.S. Republicans of playing political games, if you will, by calling out Canada over wildfire smoke that's drifted across the U.S. border. Republican state lawmakers like from Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, even North Dakota filed a formal complaint against Canada. They want an investigation. Manitoba Premier Kanu says they're just trying to get headlines at an inappropriate time.
Well, this timber tantrum is nonsense. These are attention seekers who can't come up with a good idea on health care or on making life more affordable. So they're playing games with something that's very serious.
Those Republicans say they worry about the health hazards from the smoky air and want an investigation into Canada's wildfire management practices. Kanu would like to remind them that, hey, some lives have been lost, and that's literally thousands of people who've been displaced from their homes across the prairies from wildfires. Barkley and crazy. Crazy. You want crazy, I think. I think this is kind of crazy. You know how wonderful it is to enjoy the sweet, earthy aroma of pine needles, birds, dancing in the distance, a soft trail underfoot. Yeah. You can forget all of that because if you're in Nova Scotia, just even thinking about a nature walk could cost you $25,000.
Effective 4 p.m. today. We're telling Nova Scotians, stay out of the woods.
That's the Nova Scotia Premier warning citizens, be careful. It's now illegal to hike or wander through the woods. And if you do, a fine and maybe even time? Hiking? Illegal? Nature walks? Illegal. It's kind of crazy to me. I don't know. What's next? Prevent automobile accidents? Nova Scotia, you're going to ban automobiles altogether? Yeah. Prevent automobile accidents. Don't drive. And now, don't get me wrong. Wildfires are serious. But shouldn't the $25,000 fine be for, oh, I don't know, the actual starting of a fire? Not Karen from Dartmouth tiptoeing through the ferns with a granola bar and a reusable water bottle.
As long as you're not starting a fire or smoking, you should be able to walk
yeah,
there.
Yeah. Like, how exactly does hiking spark a wildfire? Are people out there rubbing their hiking boots together until a spark ignites? Are Birkenstocks the new flamethrowers? Light them up! Look, telling Canadians they can't go outside in summer is like telling Italians they're out of pasta. I find this a little cruel. Don't get me wrong, I love you, Nova Scotia, but how about we go after fire starters, not forest bathers? Or better yet, put that energy into fire bans with teeth, like maybe $50,000 fines, 15 years in jail for the bozos who toss a lit cigarette into the bush. It's just too much for me. So hike on, Saskatchewan. Respect the forests. Don't flick your smokes. Put out those campfires. Don't go crazy driving your ATVs through tinder-like conditions. And maybe send Nova Scotia a trail map and a hug. Am I the only one that thinks this is a little too much? Like, being cautious in dry conditions makes sense, but banning walking in the woods and threatening fines of 25 grand? What do you think? Shoot me a text. I'm really curious what you feel on this one. Should Saskatchewan, should our province do something like this, given what's our wildfire situation up north? I don't believe you should ban hiking and walking through forests. You? 1-877-300-7275. Hey, just got a name from the Real District. Some of you were texting yesterday asking me, do you know whether or not attendance was up or down at the Queen City X? Well, it was down, but didn't necessarily leave a massive impact on their revenue numbers. This according to Kat Betker, who we spoke to yesterday at the Real District. They said they were just under 74,000 fairgoers this year, a bit of a decrease from last year's scanned attendance of 102,000. As for reasons why attendance might have been down, they think there are a few factors. You got to remember last year the Riders were playing at home, and you remember how they, you know, if you go to the Rider game, you can use your ticket, get into the fair for free. So attendance numbers were larger. We had an away game. The Riders weren't in town this year, as well as just the delayed start to ticket sales for the Queen City X. That's on them because, let's face it, they were a little late in having to negotiate a new Midway operator and put all that together. And as for the new Midway supplied by West Coast Amusements, they are going to be back next year, according to Kat.
I think that the general response was really great. We've heard from a lot of folks that they appreciated that we were, you know, supporting the Canadian economy, keeping our money local, and especially, you know, working with a company like West Coast Amusements, we're really giving them an opportunity to shine and also grow and develop. So it feels like a really true collaborative partnership, and so we're all kind of like growing in the same direction and just supporting each other, and it feels really good to keep things in Canadian rooted.
Man, if you want to put it on your calendar, next year's exhibition is July 29th through August 2nd. All right, got to take a break, and the news coming up with Kevin, and right on the other side of the 6:30 news, meet my friend Lisa Franks, a paraplegic who many of you know. She's from Moose Jaw and has represented Saskatchewan and won many a medal at the Paralympics, but now she's chosen a life of living out of her camper van and touring around Canada, wherever else she can get. As a paraplegic, it's an incredible story. My friend Lisa Franks joining me after the 6:30 news.